Good evening, everyone. It is now 6:03 on Thursday, the 23rd of May, and we will call ourselves to order. Let's begin with a round table and roll call. I'll start with myself, and we'll work our way left and go around. My name is Dwayne Sims.
My name is Angela Anthony.
Michael Riley.
Jed Donahue.
Natalie Marshall Honey.
Megan Newberry.
Janine Salomon.
Courtney Lockney.
Chanda Gilmore.
Beth Carter.
Liz Madden.
I think this is your part, Courtney.
And it was Courtney Fox.
We have Courtney,
by phone.
Courtney Fox by phone. Thank you, Chanda. So as hopefully by now, obviously, we've all received our packet, and if not, you should have in front of you. Presumably, we've all reviewed it in preparation for tonight's meeting. So we'll go with our first bullet point on the agenda, and that will be review and approval of the April 26th annual meeting minutes. Of course, you'll see two bullet points here just as a point of information. One is with respect to the annual meeting, which we held prior to the public meeting, which followed. So, again, hopefully everyone has had an opportunity to review that, and I'll, of course, take a motion on the floor for approval.
So moved.
Review.
So moved.
Jed Donahue, move, and can we have a second?
Second.
Janine Solomon, move the second. And any questions, concerns, or comments around that at all?
Nope, and for the record, Sarah Grant has joined the meeting.
Thank you very much, Beth. Recognizing Sarah. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, at this point, we'll take a vote around the approval of the April 26th annual meeting minutes. All those who approve, not by.
Aye.
Who do not approve? Abstentions? So, record passes. Excellent. Thank you very much. We'll go to our second bullet point item, which is the approval of the public meeting minutes. And of course, again, hopefully you all had an opportunity to review. If not, I'll pause for just a moment and obviously take a motion for review and approval. Discussion.
I make a motion to approve.
Thank you. Beth Carter for a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mike Riley, noted as a second. And of course, all those in favor, please acknowledge by aye.
Aye.
Anyone who does not approve? Any abstentions? So moved. Thank you very much. And we'll jump right into our committee reports. We have a regret at the moment right now for Zeke Allenson, our board treasurer, but I was there for our finance meeting as well. So I would be happy to give a brief overview where we stand. You have in front of you the narrative for April 2018, which is our monthly reporting package. Again, the theme here, you'll find, hopefully you had an opportunity to review that already. And of course, as a reporting, you'll see that our final budget revenues are just over $8.3 million. Revenues collected to date, just over 8.2. That represents 99.5% of what we projected for the year at the final budget. As you can see, during the month of April, we had a number of receipts, donations, school activities, etc. They're all mentioned here as well. Expense budgeted. Again, it should be not many surprises. We're at the back end of the year, so pretty much everything has been laid out over the course of our meetings month over month. 7.7 final budgeted expenses. Expenses to date came in at 5.7, which is about 76% of the way through. In general, you see we also put in our year-end cash flow projection, again, excluding any renovation carryovers, which is in the more detailed section of the budget for you to look at your discretion. And we also, at a request out of the last finance meeting, you'll see underneath general and reserves, we did a little additional breakout here just for point of clarification and to highlight what we do as far as carryovers and reserves, right? So we have our contingency reserve, which is a 2% state-mandated amount. Obviously, our cash on hand operations, when we take that into whatever our balance cash balance is at the end of that report as well. In addition, you'll see a mention here around reserves. The school has the following current reserves, which are not included in the monthly cash flow report. summer pay reserves, maintenance and building reserves. So that maintenance and building reserve line, as we talked about in our last session, we just like to be prudent. And, you know, we understand that these are some older buildings, so we like to make sure that we look ahead and forecast. And when we have an opportunity to put additional funds away here and there, at the tune of about $25,000 per year over the course of the last 2 years, we like to do that because, of course, it's prudent. Repairs don't announce themselves, and so we like to make sure we're in a position to take care of those as needed. Summer pay reserve, again, that's a mandated amount as well that we put away every year for summer pay reserves in the event that there's some unforeseen and unfortunate circumstance in which we need to close. That is, again, mandated by the state. So we see there where we keep those and how that tallies up. So I wanted to elaborate on that. I'd like to acknowledge Zeke Allinson has joined us as well. Zeke, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining.
Nice to be here.
Our pleasure. All right. And so, and with that, I think, not to put you on the spot, Zeke, but I just gave a brief overview over the narrative. I think it's consistent with what we've discussed.
Absolutely.
But if there's anything in particular you wanted to mention, I would like to yield the floor to you to do so.
No, appreciate it. Very well done. Thank you.
My pleasure. I'll open it up for, well, let's first have any questions, comments, or concerns around the budget report for April 2018. There being none, may I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Zeke Allinson, so moving to approval of the April 2018 monthly reporting package. Do we have a second, please?
I second.
All right, Chanda, as well as Janine Solomon. Excellent, beautiful, thank you. All those in favor, please, by aye.
Aye.
Any of those who oppose? There being none, so moved. Thank you very much. All right, so that's our committee report around finance. Next up is our governance output report. As we all know from our last budget meeting, unfortunately, we're losing our Beth Carter. I think, Beth, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is your last meeting, right?
This is the last meeting. So I thought it would, I thought it was kind of important to just kind of jot down a couple things that we discussed over the years and kind of had to shore up. So that's kind of what I put together.
Appreciate that.
Just we talked about photographing the third floor of the development, making sure we kind of track where we started versus where we end.
Yes.
It's very important. I know Chanda already did so. She's just on top of it, making sure that we meet with the PTO and the upcoming school year meetings so we have that information and work in accordance with the Montessori moment and a time. So we have that. It's also important to evaluate the board evaluation meeting. So twice a year, it's kind of recommended, and we do have a document, and I know Chanda has the electronic version of, hey, you know what, let's just see how the meeting went and get people's input on meetings, and then we have to update the board classes, the skill metrics of the folks on board, as well as a review of the employee handbook. I know Janine and Dwayne and I talked about that in the past. Board recruitment is always important. The elections for next year's annual meeting is also important, as well as one thing I would say governance, kind of what I've done in the past, just some things that I kind of look at the homepage, the website, to make sure it's updated. So we want to make sure we have those bios and our photographs updated, because at the end of the month I'll be off and the folks that have already left. We want to make sure we remove them from our contact list. They should not receive emails, and we want to make sure we keep current. So I kind of do things like that and work closely with the board secretary as far as the storage. So that was just in a nutshell of some things that I thought were important that we've discussed in the past.
I appreciate you putting this together, Beth, because, of course, you know, transition is critical, right? And so what we've done is created a nice item list of priorities. As you've seen fit, you've served, obviously, on governance for several years. So your perspective is obviously very much appreciated. I must say, you know, Beth submitted a letter of resignation, what, probably 3 weeks, at least a week, 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
I believe it was, yeah.
I haven't accepted it yet. Call me, I don't know, I'll miss you, Beth, so thank you very much. And obviously my reply is coming.
Okay.
Indeed, thank you very much for the report. Any questions around our governance report, around the items that Beth has mentioned of note that we should consider as a governance committee and obviously as a board. Indeed, thank you again very much, Beth, for your service and obviously your foresight. We appreciate it. They are moving along. We have development as the next bullet point, a capital campaign update. Obviously, we have our development chair, Mr. Jed Donahue, here as well. And I think it's probably appropriate if maybe you just say a few words about what we've been doing. You know, we have a big day coming up,
yes.
Obviously tomorrow as well. And I think we had some just really good announcements, news from our board chair, from our head of school, who was sent that was sent to us fairly recently as well.
Yes. So as you may well have seen, there's been a lot of activity around the annual fund, and we have geared our annual fund giving this year towards the capital campaign. Because of course, across the street, the upper school, there's a build out of the entire third floor. And it's $1 million project. It's a major endeavor. So we set a $50,000 annual fund goal for this year. That's pretty aggressive. Keep in mind, last year we raised about $20,000 for the annual fund. So this is a big step forward for us. And we've set tomorrow as what we call the big day of giving. So there's been a lot of activity. A lot of people around this table have done short videos about why I give. There's been email announcements. A letter from Dwayne to all families went out yesterday, should be hitting mailboxes this week. And again, making the point that the work that we do here is crucial and needs to be supported by the families. And I'll say this again and again and again, because it's really crucial that we all understand and communicate it, both within the school and outside the school. Probably the single biggest difference between a public charter school and a traditional charter school is that a public charter school does not get public funding for its facilities. That means FSMA had to go out and find its buildings, both this lower school and the upper school, and then has to pay for the renovations. So when you're doing $1 million renovation in the summer, that means there's no funding for that. So that's all private resources. So we are funding it partially we're self-financing, but we have raised money through foundations, through events, through corporations. But the annual fund piece, in other words, what our community, our families contribute, is an essential piece of that. So when people say, why am I being asked for money? Is it in a public school? Yes, we are a public school, but if we want to have this first-rate middle school curriculum and opportunity for children to go through eighth grade, we have to have skin in the game. And so the good news about us, we've set that $50,000 goal. Courtney can probably speak to it, but last I saw, we were just about $40,000. We reached about $40,000, this is about $15,000 in the last week we've raised. So there's a lot of momentum around this. I'm confident we'll hit this goal, and I think it creates some momentum and it's just some awareness of what the annual fund is and does, which is some work we've needed to do. So I'm excited about the progress we've made, and it's not just the dollar amount, it's that a lot of families are contributing as well. Our participation rate was fairly low last year. So we're now getting families, again, aware of this. And even if you give $10, $50, $100, it's important that we all chip in, so we create that sense of involvement. So that's where we stand. And then going forward, again, a lot of as part of the strategic plan, of course, through this spring and summer, we'll be looking into the capital campaign, because there's two phases beyond this year. Next year is our fifth year. Angela has made a good point. It's our fifth year. It's our first eighth grade class. There's a lot of milestones to celebrate, and so I think as we move our focus not just from the families but into the community and the impact that the school's having, we need to communicate that narrative and get additional support. So those are the key goals of what development works.
And if I could add to what you just said, yes, we are a public school, but we are a public charter school, and therefore we are a choice. And so with choice comes responsibility. I think as we are rewriting the narrative and talking more and more, so all of our families understand what the difference is. I don't think it's just enough to say anymore, we are a public school. I think we have to qualify it with we are a public charter school that we chose, and with choice comes responsibility. So, and that responsibility is because nothing capital is funded. So I think we will do more and more to explain it, because I think there was some assumption perhaps people just knew it or understood it. And we were learning that creating awareness creates action, and it's been a fantastic beginning to making the annual campaign really a habit now. I think it's also something that when you do attend public school, you're not accustomed to hearing annual campaign. So things are starting to become habits, if you will, or traditions, and that's also where you're going to start to see lift and excitement.
And thank you to all of you who contributed videos or sent notes to the classroom and things like that. That's made a big difference as well.
As well as donating. So what is the time frame? Can you talk about the time frame of the, what is it, the school year for the annual fund? Is it?
Yes, for the it's based on the academic year.
The academic year. So we have until the end of June.
So the fiscal year, technically.
The fiscal year. So if no one gave, we have until the end of June.
And yes, thank you for reminding that. As board members, one of our commitments is we will make, each year we are required to make a financial contribution to the school. So if you have not done so already, again, yes, you have till June 30th, but please do so.
Each fiscal year.
Each fiscal year.
Excellent. Courtney, I know we have you on the line as well. Are you still there?
I am.
Excellent. I wanted to obviously include you in the conversation here around Capital Campaign out of respect. I know you're doing a lot of work around that as well. So I wanted to open the floor to you for any comments you may have to in addition.
I mean, the only thing that I would add is that an awareness for everyone to kind of know that there have been about 20 days of planning leading up to what we're calling our business information and information in people's hands almost daily for those 20 days in a variety of different forms, and we've tried to really carefully lay it out so you see it in a lot of different ways. It's definitely getting, a lot of pieces out right now, so you're seeing it probably overkill right now, but that's a good thing. And I think the other piece here is that acknowledging that so many people on the board took their pieces and ran with them, whether it was posting videos or sending emails to classrooms. It allowed us to hit it in a variety of different ways, and it was really important and sick, and I just want to acknowledge and appreciate how much people stepped in and, added pieces to kind of add to the portfolio of what we put out there to engage everybody in this last round of giving for this fiscal year.
Excellent. Thank you. We appreciate that, Courtney. That's good. Excellent context and good information. Obviously, we've heard from our development chair and obviously Angela and Courtney a lot of hours around strategic planning and fundraising. Any questions, comments, concerns before we move on to our next bullet point on the agenda?
I'm just wondering, have you gotten any, real strong negative pushback against the concept of an annual fund, or is it more that people haven't thought of it? Is there, when you think about the messaging that needs to go out to raise awareness about participation is important, do you have to go against a wall, or is it just, more just pushing through and turning on a light bulb?
I believe, yeah. I think, it depends on where folks are coming from, whether or not they're used to that terminology.
Yeah.
Or it's something that they've encountered in other places. But typically coming from a public school background, it's not something that you hear about.
Right, you wouldn't have thought about it.
No, not at all.
But it's not, there's not hostility mm-hmm. when you raise the topic.
No.
I think, as I mentioned, we introduced it, I guess this is the third week of the annual fund, but our communications around it were pretty minor. So I think a lot of people just weren't even aware that it existed. And keep in mind, there's so many new families. Mm-hmm. We're growing so much that there are a lot of new families as well. So this is the first year where we've really, I think, had a concentrated multi-channel communication strategy.
And the continuing education component, right? I mean, that's really, I think, that's going to drive every awareness component to action. Yeah?
I think the other piece of it is that when you have the cap tied to the Capital Campaign, there's very concrete and light.
Mm-hmm. And we're only finishing our fourth year, so
moving quickly.
Exactly. Right. So it's that teaching, it's that gaining momentum, and it's that building that value system around something that we all value. So it's coming.
And I think too, the families are surprised when I say that we don't get funding for buildings.
Yeah.
Right.
They don't know that.
Right. Right. It's very true.
So I'm really making sure that I'm saying that. That's why we're raising this money, because they don't realize that.
Exactly. I think they think that because they hear the public part,
mm-hmm.
that we follow the same alignment as if we were in a district or in the same category.
Definitely.
Thank you, Courtney. That's great perspective, obviously, as our newest PATH director. So thank you. We appreciate that.
And I think the good thing about that, Courtney, is the fact that people, parents will understand the fact that each year will continue to have the need. It's not a one-time event or for a specific, it's also tied in with the growth. I mean, and the addition of the third floor in the other building, but at the same time, knowing that we have to pay for the building, parents should understand that, guess what, it's an ongoing need.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it goes back to, Mike, like what you just said. You know, we're talking capital campaign. A campaign is, short and focused. A fund, as you just said, will be in perpetuity. Right. So there's teaching that goes with it.
Great, healthy discussion. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I know we have next, moving along from our agenda, our secretary's report, review of any updated materials, board member requirements, etc. So I will yield. Ms. Chanda Gilmore.
Thank you. So I handed out to everybody updated materials for returning board members. You had the lovely loose paper copy because you have your binders from many moons ago. Yeah, I was like, that's when I was looking for my binder. For our newest board members, you had the luxury of getting a wonderful plastic binder. It has all updated manuals and policies and procedures. I included the latest annual report, which is from last year. We will be getting the annual report from this year when Courtney sends it out. Typically what I will do when there's material to be included in your binder, I will include it in the board package, or I'll send you an email as an electronic document. I'm a person who prefers electronic documents over a hard copy, but I will also make it available at the next board meeting for any additional copies. And this has been touched upon a couple of times in this meeting, but to kind of put it also in a little bit perspective, in the board package you will receive every month and also in your binder, we have a tracking document which has all the requirements as board members that we need to complete. If you look in the first section of your booklet, I think it's like on the fourth page after the updated contact directory, you'll see kind of a blank document. We're still closing out the current fiscal year, so really it doesn't start until July 1st. And for returning board members, remember, everything kind of gets wiped away. The only thing that is consistent is obviously your background checks, conflict resolution, which we are still updating, and I will be working with governance. I did type it out, so I do need to send it for governance to review that document. Finance training, which will be forward to new board members when we have those dates available. It's online. That is wonderful. Due process also comes from the state, so we'll get notification about that. With the turning of the new board members, we realize we only have two people trained in due process. So the next availability, hopefully we can get some new current members to attend depending on what that date will look like. Additionally, the board decided a couple of years ago that in addition to just these regular requirements, we had additional requirements really to show that the board is active and allow the community to see our faces, to engage with us and say, who we are. And those come to those additional requirements for the board. Teachers, because you do already so much and you have to be there anyway, you're kind of exempt from that. That's why you'll see a grayed out bar for your line and as well as Courtney. For board members, once again, as Jed said, you do have to make that annual contribution to the annual fund. Whatever amount you can make is wonderful, whether it's $100 or $1,000. I'll start on the lower end. It's wonderful. When you make your contribution, you don't have to tell me what it is. Just shoot me an email saying, I made, my contribution, or just tell me and I'll check it off. I keep track of everything. As you meet your requirements, just send me an email, send me that verification, send me your finance certificate, and I'll kind of check it off. Also, we do require board members to attend 2 school activities. We all end up probably attending all of them, like 4 or 5. So once again, just tell me happy hearts, vocabulary parade. I'm telling my favorite ones off the bat. I field days coming up, another one I enjoy also. So all of those count for those activities. The information sessions, usually Courtney is really good about in advance sending email out saying, we have parents who want to visit, giving those tours. It's really nice for prospective parents to have a tour from a board member. Once again, it shows that visibility, that shows our interest, and that we do care about the school. And for the school's growing every day, and it's also helpful for me, like, wow, this is new. This is something really creative and another type of environment that they have. Usually the information sessions are like November to January, but once again, Courtney's really good about sending an email out for that. And I think that's it for board requirements. I have to remember.
I would just like to add one more thing while you look, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
I know sometimes also head of school will send out an ask, say, for there is a teacher recruitment event on a Saturday or something, and so she needs someone to man the desk or man the phone, and there's an ask, hey, can you come out on a Saturday from 9 to 10 or something like that? We want to make sure, you know, if indeed possible, that we make ourselves available, because sometimes there's an ask like that as well.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to...
Oh, no, thank you, definitely. And then the other one was just the two board lead requirements. Jed, I'll let you kind of speak to that one. Usually that comes from Jed in the development. Making contact, inviting people you may know who would be giving a donation, a large perspective. I know, like, when Dwayne sent out the invitation to attend the funds, that type of stuff, when you just make that connection. One thing we want to say about those board leads, it doesn't always have to be monetary. Sometimes if it's an activity, if it's a supply, if you know a business who's getting rid of office furniture, school supplies, hey, that'd be wonderful for First State. So those are the kind of things when we talk about board leads. Once again, as they occur, just shoot me an email saying I did this, or tell me in the board meeting, I'll update the chart. We pretty much don't discuss it during the board meeting. It's more just something go out. It's a self-tracker because it is a requirement as a board member.
Thank you, John. I think, you know, it's always healthy to have those reminders, because I, as you went through them, I probably owe you about two or three minutes.
I owe you all of them. I don't know that I
reported it. So that's really good. I appreciate that for consideration.
And if I could, I might be able to put a little bit of clarity around that last part of what you were saying. Mm-hmm. It's basically leveraging our networks on behalf of FSMA with either time, talent, or treasure, in order to benefit the school. So hopefully that puts it all together, what we were talking about.
Excellent. So we have, thank you again, John, very well done. We appreciate that. And my emails are coming. So we're going to deviate from the agenda just a moment. As you can see on the agenda, we do have an executive session that we need to go into in a moment, but I think it's appropriate given that we have some guests and families with us today, so I want to make sure that we acknowledge that. We had two requests made for public comment, and of course, by the procedures for public comment at board meetings, we made a decision that obviously, you know, there's typically, just as a point of information, 7 days notice that's required. However, there is a clause that will allow, at discretion of the board chair, to have, assuming these proper forms are completed, and they are in this instance, for public comment to be held on the day of. And so I think that's more than appropriate given the situation, and obviously we want to welcome the families. We typically, quite frankly, don't have this many guests on the board. And so I'm happy to see you. So I'll begin with the first one that I received. Of course, keep in mind, of course, obviously, I always ask this of everyone, just time considerations as we move through. I know there's a lot of stuff scheduled behind us, and we like to be cognizant of that. So if you see me moving a little quickly, that's probably why. Lisa Cannenberg, if you don't mind.
So my question this evening was, you know, obviously we've had an epidemic in our country of mass school shootings, and school security has been really at the forefront of my mind, thinking about my daughter being a student here and keeping her safe. I'm just curious to know what the board's position is on increased school security measures in the coming year or going forward, if that's even been a top of consideration. Last year, I actually lost my school pass that I used to pick my daughter up in the afternoons, and was kind of panicked because it's got the name of her school and who she is and what room she's in. And I understand it's a small school and a lot of people know who I am when I come to pick her up, but if that were to get into the wrong hands, I was concerned about somebody being able to get into the school, or really anybody for that matter, knowing that this kind of stuff is going on around our country. So I was just curious to hear from the board if there had been any conversations about improving security in our school.
Mm-hmm. Very good question. We appreciate that. I can say this without obviously having a specific knowledge of that instance. It's important, out of our head of school, not being physically present. I want to acknowledge that. I think that's a consideration we should take into account. I know, and we have a process in place for the school, not at the board level, obviously, but at the administration level, that is consistent and mandated by the Department of Homeland Security, actually. So it's consistent with their guidelines as well. Quite frankly, I'm not independently, you know, familiar with them, as I probably should be as a parent as well, quite frankly. But what I'll do and is two things. I know we have, obviously, our educational director here, and we have Courtney on the phone, but I do want to give them an opportunity to kind of formally respond. And if that was not a good time, that's fine as well. Is it all right with you, Lisa, if we circle back with a formal answer as well?
Whatever makes most sense.
Excellent. In the interim, though, if there's anything that you wanted to mention, Courtney, did you want to mention or bring anything up at this time outside of what I just introduced?
I mean, I will add on to what you said in that we actually, in response to some current events this year, reached out to the Department of Homeland Security again and have a meeting coming up with them again where we have asked them specifically to come out and review our policies and make sure that there aren't any things that are, you know, changes that have been made since we wrote the policy. But we understand that request as well, Lisa. I think at a very basic level, it's, you know, certainly something that is on our minds every day and something we take great responsibility for. So we, like I said, one of the things that we're doing right now is reaching out to them to make sure that we are doing everything that we can from their guidance perspective to keep everybody safe here, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. And the only thing I may add to that in the second part is just additionally, what support there may be in place for students if you're, you know, knowing that you're going to be coming back to me with a more formal answer. What measures may be in place to sort of support students as a means of preemptively looking at students that may be troubled or are needing help so that they're not getting to that end result of feeling completely hopeless and taking things to a more difficult method.
Yeah, and I mean, without getting into a lot of detail on that, I will add that this year we worked with our school psychologist and reviewed some other school protocols on supporting kids that seem to be under some type of stress or distress, and have created kind of an internal checklist and policy for staff to use in responding to make sure we're identifying if there are kids who need additional supports and different outreach. So, again, I think it's one of those things that's kind of been on everybody's mind this year for a lot of reasons, and we're moving forward on it. I don't think that anything is perfect yet, and I don't know what the feedback is going to be from both of those as we get to the end of the year. But know that they are kind of works in progress right now, and hopefully will lead us to a strong policies on both ends.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Courtney. And thank you, Lisa. We appreciate the question. Thank you. I'll go on to we have another family member and guest with us today. And I don't really like to use the word guest. So, for lack of a better word, I'll say guest tonight, and I'll come up with something better next go around. Anna Stepik. And it is Stepik.
It's Stepik, yes.
Excellent. Anna, please go right ahead.
And thank you so much for allowing us in time, in light of the recent times, allowing us in the 7 days.
It warrants it, and it's our pleasure.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So we were just, I'm piggying back off of Lisa's, so I appreciate the answers you already gave us. One of the things that has bothered me is pulling up every morning to school, and when I leave, Kumba has a police officer in front of their school, and we don't. So I hear you that you've reached out to Homeland Security and are looking at that, but I don't know that answer would be in their package as far as what they come back to us in saying that we would have a police officer here, because they've already taken preemptive measures to have a security officer, or actually a police officer, at their doors every morning. So my question is, would that be something, and you can get back to me with this answer, would that be something that this board, this school, would do here at First State? Because that definitely gets me literally every single morning when I leave here and I pull away, because that is something that is the most precious thing to me, is my children.
Of course.
And we make sure that our celebrities are safe every single day. And I have to leave my daughter here, and there's no one here making sure that she's safe. And in light of the recent times, it's very difficult. And I've been here at the school where there's been a lockdown, and it is not safe. And so I want to see a different plan, because our children are sitting ducks as the lockdown stands. And I've been in different schools, and there are different plans. So I most definitely would like to see a different plan, because it breaks my heart. When I was here the one day, and I left here in tears. So whatever we do, there needs to be something different. And anything that I can do, my husband can do, my family can do, my in-laws can do, as far as support, volunteering, whatever we can do. Like, our family obviously is here and entrenched in this school, and will be for the years to come. But there has to be something different, and the board has got to do something with the school. And we know organizations that will volunteer their time and talents to this school, and whatever it takes to make this school more secure. So I'm begging for this to be top priority. I know the capital campaign is important. I know getting that build out done is, but if there's no children here to go to the school, it's not gonna matter. So we have to do something in the very imminent future. And also making sure that there are no students left behind that will cause the situation is also important. Like being preemptive, like Lisa said, there's a situation that happened with our daughter that is very scary, that it's just scary that it's happening with the six-year-olds, that there are angry six-year-olds. It's just so scary. And I fear for my daughter, and she's six. And so you have to do something.
You have to do something. Thank you, Anna. I appreciate that. Obviously, there's a number of parents around this table, children not only just in this school, but obviously in schools throughout the city and state. So I'm certain your words resonate as they should. And so we appreciate that. And of course, we'll take that away. You know, it's something to discuss along with obviously the administrative arm who's in charge of these types of things. Our job as a board, as I'm sure you well know, is governance. And not necessarily administration, right? That said, and in order to do our jobs properly is something we should be obviously paying attention to as well. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate your comment. Thank you very much. I will also open that up to, we have our administrators in the building. I don't want to, you know, step on any toes there. And so if there's something you want to say, or if this one is circled back, that's fine as well. Courtney, Liz, feel free. If not, we'll move on to the rest of the agenda.
I think we'll circle back. I mean, I think the meeting that we're going to have next week with Homeland Security is going to give us a lot of information, and I'm looking forward to getting more information there.
Yeah. Will do. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Indeed.
Yeah, and the only thing that I would add about other schools and what they're doing, the schools up the street from us, neither of those schools have school resource officers. They are actually hired through the community education building to serve schools around the area. And they have put a police troop in the bottom of the community education building, so there's a presence there. But I just want to be clear that it's not something the school has done, but they've certainly reaped the benefits from it, and I wonder if there's a way that we can reap the benefits from that being so close as well that we need to look into further.
Thank you for that clarification, Courtney.
Excellent. Indeed. Thank you, Courtney. And
have you communicated? I don't think it's sort of things beyond the scope of this meeting, but you know, with Liz and Courtney, kind of your experience of the lockdown and why you felt it was unsafe. And,
yeah, the same question.
I think
I have a meeting set with Liz.
Yeah, I think that feedback would be really helpful.
I'm meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Excellent. Yeah, appreciate that. I'm sure that will be shared with the board as well. Excellent. Again, Lisa, thank you very much for your comments. We appreciate that. At this time, we'll move on through the rest of our agenda as noted. As you do see, we all have an executive session planned for this evening. It should not be long at all, but it is necessary nonetheless. So I would please like to hear a motion from anyone on the board that we may move to executive session.
So moved.
Jed Donahue with the motion. A second, please.
Second.
Janine Solomon with the second. We are now moving into executive session.
At 6:43.
Thank you, Charlie. So, as you can see, we still... We're back. Excellent. Thank you. We returned from executive session and discussing school bus transportation and student attendance. It is now 6 after 7. We have 2 bullet points left, one with respect to old business and another with respect to new business. I didn't see anything brought forth. I had just really 2 quick things I wanted to touch on my own agenda with respect to old business and new business here. Bullet points. Old business, last week, Thursday, First State Community Loan Fund celebrated their 25th anniversary. First State Community Loan Fund being a local CDFI, Community Development Financial Institution here in Wilmington, and they had their annual dinner. So as part of some of our strategic initiatives as a board, as we grow and move forward and as a school, we wanted to get involved, obviously, with the 3 communities that are right out front of our doorstep here, right? There's many, but of which 3 are our corporate community, our legal community, and our economic development community, right? And so last Thursday, our board, which is why we're meeting today, outside of our normal schedule, several of our board members participated in that annual dinner and attended, I should say, that annual dinner 25th celebration. I can tell you, so thank you to those who were able to come. We really do appreciate it. Those who were not able to come, we still appreciate you because there was a lot of interest. Maybe just the timing wasn't right. There'll be a lot more opportunity to do things like that because this is obviously a strategic initiative that we'll continue to execute against. Just to report out, I'll send a formal report out in writing for our next board meeting, Madam Secretary. However, I thought it important to bring it up to you all today that in my estimation, it was a good success in terms of networking and raising the profile for our school. We walked away with obviously a lot of new relationships that we didn't have. So against those 3 strategic partnerships, if you will, for example, from the legal community, I had a wonderful conversation with a gentleman who's a partner at Barnes and Thornburg right here in the city on Northwest Street. With respect to economic development, their senior vice president of business development, Sanair, is very interested, has heard a lot about our school, but has never had an opportunity to come by and visit, so we'll be scheduling a visit with both of them. And from the corporate community, there was a visitor from New York, actually, Michelle Henry, who's the regional VP for the Northeast for the Office of Not-for-Profit Engagement, and so I've already been talking in communication with her as well. And again, very excited. They come through the city on a regular basis. They didn't know we were here. So the goal is to get them out to our school as next step, see what we're doing, see what's going on in the building across the street, and see where there's some synergistic opportunities for us to help each other. So I wanted to report out succinctly around that underneath old business, just because it was last week and came up in our last board meeting. Indeed. So more to come is my point there. As well. So again, thank you to all who showed interest and were able to participate. This is summer season, and so there'll be a lot more opportunities for us to engage our community coming up in the next few months. I didn't have any other old business to bring forth, and I believe there's an opportunity now for if anyone had something that they jumps to mind, please feel free. Being none, we'll move on to new business. Just as a very brief point of information, we're still in discussion. This is kind of circles back to Chanda's earlier point around governance training. So we're in communication right now around our board governance training. Understand that is there's one company in particular that we're in discussions with. We've already secured budget funds associated with that. They sent us a contract. However, we want to make sure that we continue to do our due diligence and explore other options. I do believe there was some preliminary work done around that already. However, we just want to make sure we button up everything, T's and I's, and ensure that we're getting the best bang for our buck with respect to governance training for a new board. We have several new members, as you all know, and of course we want to make sure that we get off to a very strong start. So in short, more to come on that as well as we begin to just one, reassess the contract, and then two, look at other options just to make sure. But you'll hear something from us as a board executive committee very soon.
Do we have an idea of when the board training is going to occur, like in June, July?
Well, so the company that we have a contract from now, and again, I want to emphasize, is not a signed contract. It's what they've submitted to us for consideration. There's a 90-day window from the time the contract is signed. So they've actually revised what they've done in the past. In the past, they would just come in and do the board training. They've gone with a much more pre-work engagement model, where they actually meet with the head of school, they meet with the board chair, a little bit more thorough in my estimation, I would imagine, around our initiatives and what have you. They take that away. They engage another set of vendors on their own as well to come in specifically around what we've, you know, what we've extracted from that leadership meeting, if you will. And then they come in within, I believe it's 30 days from the time that meeting occurs, to actually to do a 4 to 4.5 hour training. So what I can say to you is think Saturday and think like 9 to 1. Okay? And so that's something to consider, right? And so again, we'll know. The key to the mechanism that's gonna drive that is the contract being signed.
Okay.
And it's a 90-day window for them to do that. Just as a point of information, the back end of that is once that 4 hour training is done, they actually come in for a post session as well within 30 to 60 days from the day that training is done. So they try to be as thorough as possible and hit every point. I hope I was able to answer that question. Any other questions around that new business? That's the only other new business point I had. More to come is the question. Yes, Janine.
I just had one thing, which is a little bit of a follow-up on your first aid community and our getting out more.
Yes.
As a lot of you know, last week was the Mariano Rivera 5K that I was very much involved in. I wanted to personally thank Dwayne for coming to it. I do appreciate the support. We didn't have a great day, but something came out of that event which I wanted to propose to the board today. No decisions today, but just conceptually. So I ended up, as a volunteer, meeting with the CEO of the foundation and spoke with her a little bit about when they actually utilize the proceeds from this event. A lot of people don't realize, but part of the proceeds for this event is they fill up backpacks full of school supplies for inner city kids and they give them away right here in Rodney Square. And being that we're just up the street from that, and we very much like to have our students be involved in the community, and especially things of that nature, I thought perhaps there might be an opportunity for us to partner with them in that regard. In addition, as I think I've mentioned in my emails, this is a foundation that is well endowed, and perhaps if we begin a relationship with them where we're giving of our time and maybe some of our treasure, that they'll want to give back in turn. You know, I'd suggested maybe something where, you know, when we're collecting school supplies like we do, say, you know, bring in an extra set of pens for the backpack drive and then have maybe not all of our students, but a select group of students that are actually there and available for the event. It always gets huge PR. It's in the paper. It's a front page sort of news journal thing. So she was very interested in partnering with us on that and also learning more about us. So, but it's something we're actually going to have to move on rather quickly because they start planning that event. It's, you know, in August and they start planning it very soon. So I just wanted to put it on everyone's sort of
radar,
and that, and I may just talk to Dwayne and some of you, you know, offline about it. But
Janine, I apologize. I had that in my mind. I didn't write it in my notes, which is why I didn't bring that up. That was it may not have been a success by maybe some of the metrics you had, but I thought it was a great success. Just, I was out there running in the rain and had a blast doing so. I met some wonderful people, actually two folks who are very interested in helping out with time, talents, and treasure, right, for our school. And I'll be following up with them this week. For those who may not know, Mariano, just as a point of information and context, Mariano Rivera is the most winningest reliever in the history of Major League Baseball. And he's a former New York Yankee, et cetera, et cetera. His mom lives here in Delaware, and she is the running the foundation.
She's executive director
for the foundation. And he was out there I'm a native New Yorker, as most of you know. If you didn't know, now you do. But I followed his career and his not-for-profit work for some time. He's been very active in the local community. And in fact, his foundation has a focus on education. So there is some strong synergy there for us as an institution that we can obviously...
And particularly lifting up those students who may be economically disadvantaged and putting them in a position to succeed. So they've given out scholarships to colleges to students and things like that. So they're very focused, as Duane said, on education. Mm-hmm. It's a nice partnership for us, and obviously part of our community, we serve part of that underprivileged community, and so I think as we endeavor to maybe move forward and build this relationship, we do have to make it a point that they know that we are very much serving that community. I mean, I don't remember the exact amount, but, you know, the percentage of students mm-hmm. that, you know, get free breakfast, free lunch is pretty high, 20%
over 20%.
Or so. Yeah, 20 to 25% was what I thought. So I think it's a natural partnership for us, and I think we just, if we go about it the right way, I think it could be beneficial to both organizations.
Well stated. Thank you very much, Gina. I appreciate you bringing that back around full circle. That's the old and new business segment. Any questions?
I had one question.
Please, Jed, and then Angela.
I don't know the proper protocol, but for the next meeting, I guess it would be the head of school report, but I think it would be, in light of the public comments we've had tonight and the meeting with Homeland Security coming out, sort of for the board to be for coordinating or someone to report back on, you know, plans with schools, you know, to lock down school safety, things like that. I think it would be important to close the loop on that.
I appreciate you bringing that back to the full circle. Liz, do you mind taking that away? Obviously, it will be in our notes, but... Maybe as your, I think the call dropped for Courtney.
Oh, is she not there anymore?
Yeah, I saw it drop off. So that's the only reason I mentioned you. If you'll bring that back, and then of course, if there's any questions or concerns, you can contact Jed or myself.
Yep.
Excellent. Thank you, Jed. Angela.
And I would like to take this moment to welcome Courtney, because we were kind of in between things.
Yes.
And so
thank you so much.
I'd like to say welcome. I think my friend on governance over there was getting ready to say the same thing.
I appreciate that. You know, I tell you, you know, the families, they work so hard, but I think sometimes when you need a couple more votes, you're just going, come on. So everybody came through with the last push, so we were able to.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to the board. Thank you very much for your service. We appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks.
Listen, if there be no other business per agenda, I'd like to hear, and I'm sure everyone else would, a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Angela, a motion to adjourn. Do we have a second?
I will
second. Any objections? If not, excellent. We are adjourned at 7:18 p.m. Thank you. Secretary Gilmore.